Pepper Young's Family. Pepper Young's Family is the true-to-life story of your friends, the Youngs. We'll be with them in just a moment after this message. When Peggy told Carter that his family was so opposed to their engagement that they'd sent the family lawyer to Elmwood to try and break it up, Carter made a quick decision. He telephoned long distance to Chicago. He's talking to his father on the phone now and has just announced that he's perfectly willing to give up the Trent fortune, but he'll never give up Peggy. As his father listens in amazement, Carter sums up the situation in a final outburst.
All right, then you understand how I feel. I'm going to do everything I can to undo all that Bruce Taylor has done. I'm going to do everything I can to make Peggy change her mind and to make her say she'll be my wife. No, Dad. I ask for nothing from you. I want nothing from you. Goodbye.
Carter, he must be very angry.
Well, now he knows how much I want to marry you. And he knows I'm not interested in his money. I think that set him back more than anything. I've never said that to Dad before.
You shouldn't have said it. It isn't right.
It's right, Peggy. I'm not the sort of guy who cares about carrying on the family tradition of great fortune. I want to go out and work things out in my own way. I want a quiet life with quiet people. I've told you that before. The sort of life your family leads. The kind of home your mother's made here is the kind of home I want. And that's what you want, too, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
And that's what you're going to have. That's what we're going to have together. Only you've got to stand by me, Peggy. Because, well, they will raise a rumpus. But I won't budge, Peggy. Not if you'll stick by me.
Oh, but, Carter, you've got to talk this over more thoroughly with your father. You've got to go out there and see him and your mother, too.
I don't agree with you, Peggy. I think the more we talk, the less we'll accomplish, Dad and I. But if it makes you feel any better, I'll go. But I've got to have your promise. I've got to know where I stand with you.
Carter, darling, I'll always love you.
Well, that isn't enough, Peggy. I've got to know whether you're willing to marry a poor man, because that's what I'll be. Well, that's what I am now.
Oh, darling, I always hoped you wouldn't have so much. That's the part that's wonderful, I think. All the finest things in you will come out now, because you won't have your father's money to rely on. You won't be able to ask for things or expect things from him. That'll be the best thing that's ever happened to you.
You're right, Peggy. I've been wanting something like this to happen for so long, it's almost a relief. Honest it is. To be able to tell Dad I don't want a share of his money.
May I come in?
Oh, Mama, yes. Yes, come on in. Carter's just been talking to his father.
Have you, Carter?
Mrs. Young, I can't tell you how sorry I am about this whole thing.
Oh, I know, dear.
Well, I'm glad that Mr. Young told him Dad what he thought of him.
Well, I'm not. I'm very sorry, Carter. I don't know what happened to Mr. Young.
Well, I guess it was because he wouldn't stand for anybody saying a word against you or Peggy. And I wouldn't either.
Mama, Carter just told his father that he doesn't want any of the Trent money.
I told him I didn't want a nickel, that all I wanted was Peggy.
That was very fine of you, Carter, but are you sure?
I'm sure. You know, all this unpleasantness for you and Peggy may be the turning point in my life, Mrs. Young. Perhaps it's the best thing that ever happened to me, because maybe my father will take me at my word, cut me off and leave all that money to somebody else. I don't want it, and I don't want them either. Not after what they've done to you and Peggy, and to Mr. Young. I feel much more as if I belonged in this family than I do in my own. So please, don't let this change things. And let Peggy marry me, Mrs. Young. We can go places if we're together.
Well, Peggy, what do you think about all this?
Mom, I don't know what to think yet. First, I'd like Carter to go and see his father. He's got to talk to him and to his mother, too. He's got to let them say how they feel. Don't you think I'm right?
Yes, I certainly do. Darling, you're seeing things far more clearly than I am, than anybody is. Peggy's right, Carter. I think you should go out there and talk to them. And then, when that's settled, if you still want to come back here, we'll see.
We'll be back in just a moment after this message. Meanwhile, in Chicago, Sam Young is too upset to go to bed. So he and Kurt Brandley are sitting in Kurt's room at the Hotel Somerset, discussing the events of the day.
I don't suppose there's a bit of use in my hanging around Chicago any longer, Kurt. I think I'll make tracks for home tomorrow. Oh, I had sort of hoped to line up something here, but... Well, I guess that was a vain hope. Besides, I might run into Mr. Horace Trent again, and there's no telling what I'd do to him next time we met.
Yes, you're better off home right now. You haven't been any too well, you know. Sam, all this excitement isn't any too good for you.
No, I suppose not. You know, Kurt, it's a pity that the Trents aren't able to see beyond their purse strings. However, that's how it is, and that's part of the reason why I'm traveling back home tomorrow morning.
I'll miss you, Sam.
And I'll miss you. You know, Kurt, the only bright spot on the horizon is the fact that you're settled at any rate. You don't know what that means to me. I've said that before, I know, but I've never said it with so much sincerity as I'm saying it now. To know that you're all right, to know that one of us is set, well, it'll go a long way toward making me feel better about everything. Well, you look after yourself now. See that you don't work too hard.
I'll be all right, Sam. Don't worry about me. What do you say we turn in? You've had a pretty strenuous day.
All right, Kurt. I'll turn in. Maybe I am a little tired after all.
And so Sam Young gets ready for bed, still unaware that Kurt Brandley is playing a role, the role of a successful businessman. Next morning, Sam said goodbye to Kurt Brandley and started for the station. But he got caught in a traffic jam and missed his train. Now it's just lunchtime, so Sam, with a few hours to while away before the next train, has stopped at the Leroy and Morris plant, where he thinks Kurt works, to pick Kurt up for a surprise luncheon. He goes up to a secretary and asks for...
Mr. Curtis Brandley, please. Sam Young calling.
Mr. Curtis Brandley. I don't know anybody by that name.
What?
No, Mr. Brandley doesn't work here.
Oh, yes, he does.
I'm terribly sorry, Mr. Young, but you won't find him here. Mr. Brandley was scheduled to come to work for us, but it didn't work out.
Oh, well, now, miss, there must be some mistake. I've been staying at the Somerset Hotel with Mr. Brandley, and I've done nothing but listen to him talk about his work.
Oh, well, Mr. Brandley isn't working under Mr. Leroy. He's not on our payroll.
Well, now, I just can't understand it. Well, I've been here for days, and I've seen Mr. Brandley start off to work in the morning.
Well, I hesitate to suggest this, Mr. Young, but Mr. Brandley definitely does not work here, and... I mean, could he have been pretending? Making you believe that he had a job when he really had none at all?
That's it. That's it, Miss Wilson. I think perhaps I understand it now. Kurt cooked this all up on account of... On account of me.
On account of you?
Uh-huh.
That seems strange.
Well, I guess it does, Miss Wilson, but... You see, Mr. Brandley and I are very, very close friends. And I've sort of found encouragement and hope in thinking that Kurt was employed here. He knew that. I told him over and over. I said that the only thing that kept me going, the only thing that I could cling to... was the fact that he had a job, even if I didn't.
Oh, you mean he didn't want to disappoint you?
Yeah, that's right. He only did it so that I could go back to Elmwood, believing that everything was all right with him. Gosh, it couldn't have been easy pretending every morning that he was going to the office, pretending everything was all right with him when it wasn't. Well, I'm much obliged to you, Miss Wilson, for opening my eyes to the truth. After all, it's better to know the truth, isn't it?
We'll return in a moment after this message. Sam Young walks slowly out of the office building and emerges into the bright glare of Michigan Avenue. He feels tired and lost. He watches the people hurrying by, all seemingly intent on some important errand. And a wave of homesickness sweeps over him. Now he knows the truth. Kurt has been playing a kindly game with him. And neither of them has any place at all in this busy city of strangers. He will face Kurt with the truth tomorrow on Pepper Young's Family. Mrs. Young is Esther Ralston. Mr. Young, Bill Johnstone. Join us tomorrow on Pepper Young's Family. Lee Stevens speaking. Pepper Young's Family is a production of Nano Radio.